Well, we're just going to go ahead and call this Super Bowl Sunday morning. Because we have a supernatural God living inside of us, right? Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. And so you guys have braved the cold weather. And like Pastor Mark said, I'm headed to Canada. I'm like, what? Why am I headed to Canada? Like who goes to Canada in mid-February, right? So I've got several trips lined up, and I'll be in Canada, and then I'll be in the Middle East for several weeks, and Oman, and Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, and how many have been watching the news, right? You kind of connected to what's going on, and well, it's just a matter of time before Iran will topple. It's not a question of if, but it's just a question of when. And I've been in touch with different believers over there, and so they said it's in their minds it's over, it's done, it's of course they're waiting for the United States involvement, but the people over there, they have already died. They've already died inside, and so they're willing to die outside. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't wish for any deaths or any of that, all the shootings and all the things that have been going on over there. But they said, listen, we've had enough after all these years of oppression and being under this heavy hand. You know, we want freedom. How many know freedom isn't free? I mean, you know, but how many of you want freedom this morning? And so we just, you know, speak freedom to that part of the world. And, you know, when Iran topples, I mean, it's just going to be a domino effect to the rest of the world and the rest of the Muslim world, okay? And so I've shared many things with you guys, and as I've, you know, been here before, and there's so many great things that are happening in the Muslim countries. And so I can't say enough, and I could talk all day about different countries and different things that are happening, even leaders that are getting born again. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, I could go on, but very very soon you're going to begin to hear leaders that will come forth, and they will come forth publicly and declare that Jesus has appeared to them. And it's going to send shockwaves across that country. I mean, we're talking Muslim countries. And to have a leader, come on. And so I've sat down with several of them, and they confide, and they said, you know, Jesus has been appearing to me in my dreams and visions, and I can't get away from it. And I just know it's just a matter of time before this Muslim nation will become a Christian nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I just appreciate the opportunity to come before you and share the Word of God, and just y'all's prayers, y'all's support for my wife and I. By the way, my wife, she just had oral surgery, so she's been in recovery mode, but she sends her love this morning. And so so I want you to be encouraged. I mentioned being encouraged about what God's doing, and I believe that this year we have turned a corner. I believe that this year we have turned a corner.
Amen.
If there had been if there was darkness before, come on now, the light is shining.
Amen.
You know, and we're turning the corner to see some great and awesome things take place. How many of y'all believe that this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's give it up for Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so so this morning, we're going to talk to you about going to new levels. How many of y'all would like to go to some new levels? How many know that God is not stagnant? You know, God doesn't want us to stay in the same place. All right, he wants us to go into some new levels of believing, new levels of receiving, new levels of walking with him. I mean, How many of y'all could stand to walk with God on a higher level? Come on. You know, I mean, when I look in my Bible, I see Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years. I'm like, I am jealous. I am greatly jealous because of a guy who could walk with God for 300 years, and then God says, okay, you might as well come home with me because you're already there. So, you know, and so we're going to talk about new levels. Turn to your neighbor and says, hey, I'm going to new levels. I'm not going to stay the same way. I refuse to stay the same way. Come on now. And so one of the things that God is saying this morning is he's saying, listen, take off the limits. Get rid of your stinking thinking. All right, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And so you know, in Isaiah 54, the scripture says, enlarge, stretch, you know, expand, you know, keep increasing to the right and to the left, okay? And so this applies to many different areas this morning, okay? But I'm endeavoring that this year is going to be one of the best years of my life. How about you? It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what the season of life that is. And we go through different seasons. But how many know that this can be one of the best years of your life? Amen. And so I'm going to share some thoughts with you this morning. But hey, it's level up. Everybody say level up.
Level okay. Up.
All right, we're going to some new levels. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin to look at Psalm 102. All right, Psalm 102. The psalm has been circulating in my spirit for a couple of months now. And so I'm going to share with you some things. But in Psalm 102, it says, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations, for you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Let's all read that again. Say, the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Say it with me. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Now just personalize it. Say, for the time to favor me, yes, the set time has come. You know, every year we always, the first Saturday of the year, my wife and I, we always take our four kids and we come into the kitchen and we fix breakfast, and then we go in the family room. We always have a time of prayer, and we always pray and prophesy over our children for the year. You know, how many know it's important for parents to bless their kids, right? How many of y'all believe in the blessing of the Lord, right? You know, and so we always do that. And then throughout the year at different times, we pull our kids together. Now, my oldest child just turned 31 yesterday. My youngest is 22. So, you know, they're older, but yet each year they still look forward to coming together as a family. And one of the first things in the beginning of the year, we get before the Lord and we say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want to do this year? You know, so my wife and I, we begin to get different words for our kids, and also not just for our children, but really we just sense what the Lord was saying for this season that we're in. And like I said, I believe that we've turning the corner. You can already sense a momentum, a different momentum. Have you all sensed that in the realm of the Spirit? I mean, there's an acceleration that is happening right now. I mean, we see it in the natural, but really it's an indication of what's happening in the spirit realm. I mean, things first start in the spirit realm, and then they manifest in the natural realm. Well, I don't know how the news media can even keep up with our president, Donald Trump, because the news cycle, all the things are on an accelerated pace. All right, I don't know how he can take care of all the domestic things, then all the international things that are going on, the different wars, the different things. But things are getting done, you know, just like this, and, you know, make America healthy again, make America, you know, financially sound again, make America this way, or, you know, and then all the different negotiations and all the different things that are happening. I mean, you know, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going, okay? And so thank God for a president like that, all right? In the fact that it takes a while to turn the ship around. Hello, all right? But things are increasing and things are accelerating. But that's not only true in the natural, but in the supernatural. God is working. He's working in the nations. It's all about the nations right now. All right, and so yes, there's going to be some conflicts. But don't look at the conflicts, because all of those conflicts will bring about the right outcome. And it's the right outcome that we're interested in, right? And to see nations set free, to see the Islamic curtain fall, so the freedom can come to those Muslim countries and in different countries around the world. I was just speaking to an ambassador to Japan, and he was talking about what's happening in Japan right now, the underground church, okay? And then I was with, you know, some other people just in the last couple of days up in D.C. They're talking about what God's doing in their nations, you know, and different things. And so God is working. God is moving. And how many of y'all remember when the Berlin Wall came down? We thought, well, that will never happen, you know. I mean, how could that? I mean, many of us remember that time, those days. I still have a piece of the wall. I was over there, you know, and a year before that, and the Lord was saying at that time, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the wall is going to fall in less than a year. And I was in a prayer meeting with 1,800 pastors and leaders from the Eastern Bloc and in the West, all over Europe. And we came together for a prayer meeting, and one guy gets up and he prophesies. Now, how would you like to be this specific when you prophesy? He says, thus saith the Lord, mark my words, and I've heard your prayers, and in less than 1 year, the wall is going to fall. Well, you know, your natural mind's going, oh, okay, you know, just because of the circumstances that were going on, right? And I'm thinking, wow, that guy's got some boldness, man, you know, to get up and prophesy that. And I, sure enough, I came back to the States, and I remember the day, you know, turning on the television, Tom Brokaw, he's like, well, we just have no explanation for why this is happening, but, you know, people are climbing on the wall, and they're, you know, and the guards are doing nothing. The guards are just letting the people, and they're breaking the wall down. And I said, I know exactly why the wall is coming down. And it was 3 days shy of the day. Less than a year, 3 days shy of a year when that wall came down, and that man that prophesied that, I'm like, wow, praise the Lord. Well, God did get it back then. Guess what? God's going to do it today. Amen. All right, the bamboo curtain will fall. Come on now, the Islamic curtain will fall. Great things will happen. And so it's a set time. Everybody say it's a set time.
It's a set time.
There are set times in God. There's set times that God says, you know what? It's now my time. I mean, God has the privilege of saying, okay, you know, enough is enough. All right. I've seen enough. Now it's my time. You know, I mean, we walk with God and we believe God's word and we receive. But then there are times that God says, now, okay, so yeah. I'm tired. I don't want to see any more suffering. Listen, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to set the record straight. We see that in the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. For 49 years, they could have gone, just lost everything. Lost their health, lost their homestead, lost their finances. I mean, gone through all kinds of tribulations and trials. And then on the 50th year, God says, okay, it's now my time. And that blow the trumpets. Blow the trumpets. It's a set time, the 50th year. And God says, now it's my time. So everything that my people have lost, everything that they've been enduring, now they're going to be restored and healed and whole. Come on now, and free again. Hallelujah. And so I believe that we've now turned the corner and we're living in a set time. I can sense it in my spirit. It's a different time. Everybody say it's a different time. And see, when God says it's his time, guess what? It's our time. Everybody say it's my time now. And so as the Lord began to speak to us about this year, first of all, he said this. He said, this year will be the best year of your life if spiritually you make it the best year of your life. I'll say that to you again. Let's read it. This year will be the best year of my life if I spiritually make it the best year of my life. And so the four things that the Lord really spoke to us about was that this year was going to be a year of favor. How many of you like to see the favor of God? He said he's going to favor Zion. He's going to favor his people. I like the favor of God. It's one thing for a man to favor you, but I tell you what, when God favors you, then that means doors will open, resources will come in, things will begin to happen that you've never seen before. Not only favor, but also that it's going to be a year, time, or season of fulfillment. Fulfillment of God's promises. How many of y'all still believe in for some things to manifest? Yeah, we have way too many Christians that have been standing and standing and standing and haven't received yet. But how many know that there's a time? There's a set time, you know? And so if you look at the psalmist here, the first 11 verses, he was going through a tough time. It had been a dark time in his life. He was weeping before the Lord. He was like saying, God, I can't take anymore. I can't sleep at night, all these different things. And then all of a sudden he gets to this scripture verse and he says, but God, you live forever. And yes, there's a set time that's coming. There's a set time that's coming. I'm so glad that the psalmist had the revelation that, that God will never let the devil win. He'll never let the devil go but so far. Because God always has the last word. Okay? And so this morning I'm just kind of stirring you guys up again because it's the new year. All right? It's the new year to set our compass, to set our focus on what God is saying in the new year. And so it's a year, a time of favor. It's a time of fulfillment. It's also a time of consecration. I knew that I wouldn't get too many amens on that. But how many know God's calling us to a higher level? All right? And so I realize that there are different areas of my life, whether it's prayer or reading the word or praying in the spirit or fasting. I talk to people who do these 21-day fasts in January, and I'm like, dear Lord, I've never fasted that long, all right? But I'll just be honest, but whether it's 21 day or 3 day or however long, God will stretch us, right? God will, He'll His grace is sufficient, right, for whatever we do. But there are areas of our life that we maybe have never taken territory or taken ground, okay? All right, whether it's fasting or praying. I mean, there are lots of Christians, they've never even prayed more than an hour. Let's endeavor this year. Hey, Let's get to the point where we love to pray. We get in the spirit of praying, right? We pray an hour or two and we go, wow, that didn't seem like 2 hours. That seemed like 15 minutes, right? But just a greater consecration. You know, what did Jesus say? He says, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer, right? Well, if he's calling it a house of prayer, then we need to pray, okay? And so just areas where we, greater consecration. And then the fourth one was conquest. We're going to see victory after victory after victory. In fact, somebody once said, you're going to get so tired of winning, you're going to be winning all the time. Well, you know, we should be winning. Come on now, Jesus won the victory for us. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross. He purchased our redemption. And now the Bible says, and thanks be unto God who what? Always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. So when I look out this morning, I'm seeing winners. I'm seeing conquerors. I'm seeing people who are victorious. Hallelujah. We're winning, and we're going to be winning more and more and more. Come on, give the person next to you a big high five in Jesus' name. Say, you are a winner, and we are winning more battles. We're winning more victories in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, one of the things that the Lord really put in my heart was this, is that we're here to take ground. How many know that we're under a dominion mandate? And as we go into this new year, God wants us to take ground back. Maybe you've had some things that the enemy has stolen. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your retirement. You know, maybe whatever it is, But let's believe that we're going to take ground back in any area of our life that the enemy has stolen. You know, some of us that maybe have made some mistakes and it cost us some things. So what? Okay, we've got God on our side, all right? And with God before us, who can be against us, right? And so let's believe to take ground, all right, and take new territory, all right, from the enemy. Recently, if you've been paying attention to the news, of course, you know, since Charlie Kirk passed away, such a sad situation. But yet, you know, God is turning that for good, right? So, you know, there was a tremendous move of God that began to take place. Young people, it affected my kids. They're in their 20s. And they were like, Charlie Kirk, you know, how did this happen? My kids were crying. My kids were weeping over it. I had no idea what the impact that his life was to so many young people, okay? I mean, I think he had something like 1 billion followers. I mean, and one person called him like the youth pastor for America, you know, but with that tragedy that took place, it just seemed like right after that, there was a momentum that began to take place in our young people. We started getting all kinds of emails and text messages from the Muslim people. The Muslim people were greatly moved when they were watching the memorial service, the celebration of life service, and they said, if this is what true Christianity is, that you love somebody, that you don't return hate for hate, hey, this is what we want. And so there was a movement overseas. There was a movement in our young people, Turning Point USA. You know, all these chapters started springing up, you know, and different things. And so it was like a new revival among our young people began to take birth or take place, okay? And so, you know, when we start to see things like that, we always tell our family, hey, jump on board, okay? Get behind any move of God. Hey, jump in the river, All right, get behind it. It doesn't mean that you have to start a Turning Point USA chapter, but hey, realize, hey, God is beginning to move. God is moving in our young people. I mean, this is the next generation, right, that's going to carry the torch. Hallelujah. You know, and so, but then right on the heels of that, then all these podcasters got on their little podcaster thing and started chatting and all the chatter that went out, and it caused confusion. I don't know how aware you are of what happened. Maybe you're not aware. Hopefully you're not aware. But, you know, these people on podcasts, they got on their microphone and they're spitting out all kinds of things. Well, maybe it was an inside job, maybe this and that. You know, it's like, you know, and it literally kind of just deflated. It caused a lot of confusion. It caused a lot of distraction, okay, within that, okay? And then it would seem like just kind of like the air or the momentum kind of just diminished, all right? And so one of the things the Lord was saying to me, hey, this year, hey, you be pay attention to the voices that you're listening to. Because people may call themselves a Christian, but they may not be speaking on behalf of God. The only voice that matters is God's voice. And how many know the enemy would like to control the airways? The enemy always wants to control the narrative. All right, he's the prince of the power of the air. All right, and just when we see a movement with our young people, what does the enemy do? He comes immediately to try to steal that. And then people started questioning, you know, well, should we really support Israel? I'm like, well, of course we should. Why is that now a debate? Why is there confusion about that right now? Okay, like, and I get it because, see, our young people, they have never been taught those things. But it's our job now is to share with them, hey, yes, we need to support Israel, okay? This is what the Bible says, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray, you know, get all these different things that we see in Scripture, okay? But again, all of a sudden the enemy wants to do what? He wants to control the airways. And so if we're going to have a productive, prosperous year, we've got to watch the voices. All right, watch the narrative, okay? Pay attention to the things that we're listening to, the things that we're watching, okay? And we need to listen to God's voice. God's voice is the only voice that matters. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say this morning, I choose to believe the word of the Lord. I will listen
only to God's
voice. And not be moved by other voices. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Christians should be united. We have the same Holy Ghost living inside of us. We ought to see the same things the same way because He's the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 90, verse number 12. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I was with a young man a couple of weeks ago and in Lexington, Virginia, and he just graduated from seminary. He was probably mid, late 30s. And so he was applying for this position at this church, I think a Brethren church or a Baptist church. And so they were interviewing potential candidates, potential pastors, you know. And so he said, yeah, you know, I'm applying for this position. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, so tell me, if you don't mind me asking, I've always wanted to ask this question. I've never had to interview for a position as a pastorate. Now, I've been an assistant pastor in two different churches, but I've never had to get up because, you know, that's like all the, everyone's watching you and you're being kind of measured by that sermon, right? And so I was just curious, and so I said, so I said, do you mind me asking, but what sermon did you choose, you know, to preach? And so he says, this one, Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. I said, interesting, okay. He said, yeah, he said, it's a personal thing with me. He said, I this scripture means a lot. I read this scripture years ago, and so he said, I began to, he's kind of like a mathematician. I began to sit down and determine, okay, how many days have I lived? How many days do I have yet to live? Okay, and so so he said, if there's 1 year has 365.25 days, you know, for the leap years, for the 4 years, he said, so if I live to be 70 years, that means I will have had 25,567.50 days. So he said, I keep a journal every day on how many days I've lived, and then how many days have I yet to live if I reach 70? It's like, I found this so interesting. I was like, really? He said, but if I live to be 100 now, okay, then I will live 36,525 days. So he said, I literally, every day, every morning, I wake up and I cross out, okay, this is how many days I've lived, and if I reach 70, this is how many days I have yet to live. And so he says, I go to my prayer time and I say, okay, Lord, what is the best use of my time this day? I said, wow, that's pretty crazy, huh? I said, man, I gave him a high five, I shook him, I hugged him. I'm like, man, I hope they choose you. Because at your age, okay, you're gonna get wisdom every day. And you're setting your course, you're setting your life up that you're gonna be fruitful, you're gonna be prosperous. Come on now. You're gonna be doing exactly what God's called you to do, and you're gonna fulfill your purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have to, you know, stand here very long, because I know all of us in this room are like, hey, some of us maybe need to count our days. Some of us are like, you know, because we realize, wow, how, now you guys, doesn't apply to you guys. But you know, we've seen our kids just go, they grow up so fast. Before you know it, they're out the door and they're working a job. You know, and in all these different things, time flies, okay? But you know, that conversation just led me to go back and say, you know what? Lord, yeah, teach me to number my days. You know, but pay attention to each day that I'm living. You know, I need to be like that young man and say every morning, hey, Lord, what do you want me to, what's important today? What's on your agenda, Lord? What do you want me to do? All right? And you know, that's the way Jesus was. He went about doing his Father's business. All right? And he said, you know, as long as it's, you know, day, I've got to be about my Father's business, okay? And so it just gave me a reminder that going into this new year, this new season, God says it's his time, it's his season. But hey, you know, let's not waste any time either. You know, let's make sure that we're on time for the things that God has for us. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be careful how you live and make the most of every opportunity. Everybody say, be careful how you live.
Be careful how you live.
Lord, think about how you're living. Think about your priorities. Thinking about the things that, you know, that are going on. Think about first things first. You know, what are the first things? What's the first thing that God's called me to do? You know, and make sure that we're careful how we're living. So I just listed a few things this morning as we go into this new season. Number one, hey, let's put God first. Let's put God first, right? Hey, we shouldn't have to even say that in church, all right? I mean, that should be a given, all right? But put God first. There's a saying, make the main thing what? The main thing, all right? Now, when I was in Indonesia, just back in the 1st of November, I was in this church, and I'm telling you what, this church was up on a mountain, and it was in the jungle, and it was a large church, and all the young people were 35 and under. And I'm telling you what, the presence of God filled that place. It was a powerful. I mean, I've been in some really awesome revivals around the world, and this had to be top three. Okay, this service was the top three. And I'll just share this with you. In the Muslim world, there's 53 Muslim countries that call themselves Muslim countries, and 50% of the population is under 35. So that will tell you where the next move of God is going to be. That's why it's important for our young people to get hold of this move of God, all right, and not let the enemy distract us, okay, or distract them. And so I was in this service, okay, and the worship and the praise just went on for hours and hours and hours, okay? And in the fervency and the intensity and the passion that I saw in these young people was just absolutely overwhelming, okay? They were going after it. They were pursuing God. They were pursuing His presence, all right? I mean, there was almost no flow. Everyone was just so all out there. And I was standing there, and I was looking around and said, oh, my God, it's been a while. It's been a while since I've been in a service where it's been this fervent, this passionate, okay? And I stood there thinking, I almost feel like I'm backslidden. And I spend time in God's presence. I spend time worshiping God. But I realized in that atmosphere, man, these young people, they were going after it. And they weren't stopping. They weren't stopping. They weren't putting the brakes on until the Holy Spirit said, put the brakes on. And I realized, man, we could be here all night. Like the Apostle Paul, where he said, I preached at midnight. I was thinking, wow. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you remember? I said, remember what? You remember when you were 10 years of age? 10 years of age, I read a book called Like a Mighty Wind. If you've never read that book, it's about the revival that took place in the 1960s. All right, in Indonesia. Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, you remember when you read, and I've read that book many times. It's powerful. It's amazing. And it's about that revival. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, this is the place. I said, what? He said, yeah, this is the place. I mean, I hadn't even gotten up to speak yet. So when I got up to speak, I was like I don't even want to open my mouth. Because the presence of God is so tangible that, you know, you just really don't want to interrupt. You just want everyone just to keep experiencing that. And so I stood up and I said, just to confirm something, the Holy Spirit said to me that this is the place, like a mighty wind. They said, yeah, like a mighty wind. This is the place. This is the place. It was on these islands, okay, that that great revival took place. So I realized, you know what? I can become more passionate. I've become more fervent. You know, in America, we get used to our, you know, hour and 15 minute services, right? My friend from Kenya back there, right? You know what I'm talking about. I've been to Kenya many times. Been to the Happy Church, Nakuru, okay? You know, like they go through at least 6 dance marathons, okay? You know, they, you know, jumping up and down, dance, you know, and then they sit down, they're jumping up and down again. You know, I mean, they just go on for hours and hours and hours, okay? You know, that's the way it should be. So what I'm saying this morning, I feel the Lord saying, hey, we need to stretch. We need to enlarge. We need to increase. Okay? All right. We shouldn't have an American gospel. We should have a God gospel. I want to see Holy Ghost services. And the only way that those come is if we take the brakes off. And we allow the Holy Spirit to move the way he wants to move. I would rather not preach. I would rather just, hey, let him do his work. And if he needs someone to speak words, then so be it. But I want to get back to some of those things that we have seen. I'm sure many of you have been part of different moves in the past, different things that God has done, but let's reach out for more. You know, that was just a foretaste of what he wants to do, of things that are to come. Hallelujah. Everybody say, put God first. Yeah. And let's come in into his presence, and let's just go all out. The second thing the Lord said to me, he says, hey, be determined that to receive everything that God has promised. Let's make it our determination this year. If there's any area of our life, hey, let's be determined. You know what? Let's make up our mind. We're going to receive our healing. This is our year. This is our time. God says the time is now. And so let's make up our mind. We're going to receive everything that belongs to us in Christ. How many know the greatest tribute that you can give to Jesus is to go after your healing? Amen. Come on now. Because it cost Jesus his life. It cost Jesus everything. And so I'm determined. You know, if there are things that have been left undone, things that I'm still believing for, I'm determined. Listen, I'm going to keep going after it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. Many of you have heard me say this. You know, the way that you get healed is you keep your foot on the accelerator. Right? You know, and when you pass go, collect the $200 or whatever it is, all right? But just keep your foot on the accelerator, all right? You're never too old to be completely healed. God said, I will restore health to you and heal you of all of your wounds. Hallelujah. I want to be mobile. I want to be flexible. I want to be able to go the distance, right? To fulfill my course, to fill the plan of God in my life. And so, you know, we've shared some of these things with you before. But my wife and I, hey, we got a gym membership. You know, started working out, started, you know, getting in better shape. You know, when you travel overseas and those long plane rides, and then, you know, when you walk, it's long walks, all right? Miles and miles of on hard, you know, cement, you know, or blocks. I mean, it can wear you down. You know what I'm talking about, all right? And so I'm like, man, I got to get in better shape. I've got people older than me that are, you know, they're preaching the gospel, and I'm trying to keep up with them. So what we're saying is, hey, take off the limits. Let's be determined that we're going to do whatever it takes to get our bodies in shape. We'll do whatever it takes to walk with God, to get our prayer life together, to get reading the Bible, you know, doing all the basic things, all right, and more. And I know some of you probably have projects that you've been meaning to get to. You know, a few closets that need to be cleaned out. A honey-do list that never stops. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Just when I think I'm finishing up my honey-do list, guess what? There's another one. Thank God for our honeys. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for my honeys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number three is every day that you wake up, hey, be determined that you're going to be productive. Say this morning, I'm going to be productive. I'm not going to try to sleep in. No, if you need sleep, if you need rest, hey, get it. All right? But so often we're like, oh, I don't feel like doing anything today. Maybe I'll just watch TV or I'll lay on the couch. And, you know, I could tell you scriptures. I could bore you to, I won't say bore you to death, because we don't say that in church. Bore you to life. Reading scriptures about don't be slothful, don't be lazy, you know, all these different things. But be productive. How many of God wants us productive? And that's what it means when we make the best use of our time. You know, every day, you know, Lord, teach me to number my days. Okay, that means when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to be productive today. I'm going to at least do one or two things on purpose, right? You know, either for my own personal life or for the kingdom or whatever it is. You know, I remember when I was in college, I went to a counselor, and I was just kind of going through a drought or a dark time. And you know, I thought he was going to give me, like, amazing words of wisdom, you know. But how many know sometimes it's the simplicity that really is where the wisdom is. And so he said to me, he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do three things every day. Okay? So every day, talk to God. Yeah. Talk to God every day. The second thing is, let God talk to you. Okay? That seems to be, okay, yep, that's something I can do, yep. And then the third thing is, do something for God. Help somebody in need. So talk to God, let God talk to you, and then do something for God. I said, yeah, I can do that. And you know what? All of a sudden, things changed. You know, I got happy. Different things begin to take place. But it's like, hey, every day, just be determined. Hey, I'm gonna be productive. All right. Number four, be harvest minded. You know, I've set my course this year that I'm gonna be an hilarious giver. Anybody know what a hilarious giver is? You don't know what a hilarious giver is? Well, the Bible, the Amplified says, be prompt to do it, hilarious, joyful giver, right? All right? And the Bible says, give as it purposes in your heart. So as it purposes in your heart, therefore give. So I said, you know what? I want to bump up my giving this year. I want to bless more people. I'm gonna bless more ministers, okay, that are preaching the gospel, okay. So I already know what in my highest, you know, offering that I've ever given. So I said, okay, I'm gonna start giving more offerings, but I'm getting to the point where I say, okay, Lord, if you speak to me, and I know you will, okay. I wanna bump up my highest offering that I've ever given before. And it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be hilarious because I'm like, you know, God, this, you know, I never thought that I could give to that degree. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But God is able to make what? All grace abound to you. Hallelujah. And then the last thing that I put down is this, is that Enjoy your life this year. That sounds so simple. But how many Christians are truly just enjoying their life? Because we're working. You know, we're busy. You know, and so my wife and I had a couple that had been egging us on for a couple of years. You guys need to go on a cruise. Like, cruise? We can't afford a cruise. We don't have time for a cruise. We're busy people. They said, no, you guys need to go on a cruise. I'm like, come on. So finally, we gave in. We went on a 5-day cruise, okay? And on the third day, I'm like, why in the world didn't we go on a cruise before now? It cost us $400 each, all right? And we're like, the food itself, right? Come on, anyway. I shouldn't be talking about food in church, okay? You know, but you have food in the morning, food. How many of y'all been on cruises before? Come on, raise your hand, be honest. Okay, so did you enjoy your life? Yes, you did, okay. And there's activities, you know. I did the axe throwing, you know. I'm like, oh man, yeah, like on the ship, you know, all these different things. So, you know, but it's important for our soul to prosper. You know, beloved, I wish above all things that you would be in health even as your soul prospers. All right? And so believe for that vacation. Believe for that getaway. Come on. All right? You know, I was convicted after like 15 years. My kids finally said to me, Dad, it's not a vacation if you take us somewhere and you preach there and we enjoy 1 or 2 days at the beach. Ouch. Because I was figuring out a way to pay for. And I said, okay, I need to use my faith, right? That we're going to go on a vacation, all right? And it's not subject to whether I'm preaching nearby or not, but we're going to have a nice family vacation. And then I talked to one pastor. He says, well, you need to believe for 2 weeks vacation because the first week you're still just kind of decompressing. I'm like, well, okay. How many of y'all hearing what we're saying this morning? I don't know how that impacts you, but hey, there are things that God wants to do in your life. And he's saying, hey, don't hold back. Don't put any limits on me. Okay, this year can be the best years of your life if we make it spiritually one of the best years of our life. How many of y'all with me this morning? How many of y'all determined that you're going to be about your Father's business? Come on now. All right, it's God's time. We ought to be excited, but that this is a set time on God's timetable. All right, and he's going to move. We're going to see suddenlies like we've never seen before. We're going to see moves of the Spirit that we've never seen. All right, but we've got to press in. We've got to lay hold of this year and say, you know what? I declare this will be the best year. This is going to be I'm going to walk with God closer than I ever have before. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take ground. I'm going to take new territory. Things that the enemy has stolen that are still left undone, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to take hold and I'm going to take territory. How many know we're territory takers? Amen. Amen. Say, I'm a territory taker. Territory. I take dominion in the earth. And I steal from the enemy. I take back what the enemy has stolen. I remember that song, right? I went into the enemy's camp. And I what? Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet this morning. Praise the Lord.